Okay, we're starting the two dots on Yud Daled Amud Aleph. In the Mishnah, we discussed it, Rabbi Shimon's opinion. That Rabbi Shimon's opinion revolves around the fact that Holacha, there is no Machshev Psul by Holacha because Eiv Shar Shelo B'Shchita, Velo B'Kabbalah, Velo B'Zrika, those Avodot must be done. Alev Shar, Velo Hiluch. There's a possibility of doing the Avodat HaKorban without ever having to do Holacha. And that's if you do it adjacent, if you shech the animal adjacent to the Mizbeach, you will not require any Holacha. Since it's an Avodah that does not require, or is not required to make the Korban, or get the Korban on the Mizbeach, therefore no Machshava will impact in terms of Hiluch. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mode Rabbi Shimon, Bolachat Chataot HaPnimiyot. When it comes to moving the chataut apnimiyot, shemachshava posot behu, that machshava does impact. Hoil va'avoda she'enu yachol devatla, because it's an avoda that is absolutely necessary. And we're going to see in a second, number one, that you must shech the animal in the azara. In the area of the azara, you may not shech the animal in the heichal, where the animal is going to be, or the dam of the animal is going to be brought. Why may you not do that? That Rashi says is the lav orech ara lishchot v'heichal. It's not appropriate to do the shechita inside of the heichal, inside of the place, the kodesh hakdoshim. It's inappropriate for one to shech the animal inside of that location. Therefore, one must shech the animal. It's kodshei kodashim, so we must be shechted on the northern side of the mizbeach, outside of the heichal. But that means, by definition, if you're going to shecht outside the heichal, you must carry the dam from the azara into the heichal. In that case, the holacha is absolutely necessary and indispensable. If that's the case, Rabbi Shimon said in our Mishnah, the reason that holacha yud machshava doesn't impact is because it's dispensable. But here with the chataot apnimiyot, the holacha is not dispensable because you must shecht in the azara, and to get it to the heichal, you must do holacha to get there. If that's the case, then the machshava will impact. From where it says, what about, we just saw this yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Kol she'enu ha-mizbeach chitzon kishlamim, ein chayvin alav mishum pigol. Rabbi Shimon said yesterday that the source for pigol is from shlamim. Shlamim is a korban that is brought on the mizbeach ha-chitzon, and from that Rabbi Shimon learns that the only korbanot that are affected by pigol or machshavot pigol are korbanot that are brought on the mizbeach ha-chitzon. So if that's the case, why are we even discussing chataot apnimiyot, according to Rabbi Shimon? According to Rabbi Shimon, chataot apnimiyot don't have a din in pigol at all. So why are you telling me, oh, the holacha by chataot apnimiyot, which is indispensable, there you can have machshev pigol. Machshev pigol doesn't have any relevance, according to Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to chataot apnimiyot. So I'm Rabbi Yosef Rechinina, Moda haya lifsol mi kal v'chomer. No, Rabbi Shimon over here agrees that there is a din of pigol lifsol mi kal v'chomer. So that's the difference that we have to point out over here, which is that Rabbi Shimon's going to agree over here that there's no pigol, real pigol to be chayav, correct? That there will not be here. So when we say over here, Moda Rabbi Shimon, that poselet behu, that means that it's pasul, but it's not pigol. What we're suggesting over here now is that the machshava that he has can impact on the korban. Impact both, like in our Mishnah where it's lo lishmo. Impact in pigol, not to make a pigol that you're chayav karet for, but to make a pigol that'll be posel the korban. So that's the Gemara's assumption is now, that yes, you can have a machshevet psul. Now that machshevet psul, he obviously can't learn out of shlamim, because he doesn't think shlamim tells you anything about chatot apnimiyot. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says, and the other gear supposedly is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, moda yadif sol mikal vichomer. That we learn out of kal vichomer. Umash lo lishman. When it comes to lo lishmo in our Mishnah, shehuch shiru b'shlamim, pasul b'chataat. When it comes to a shlamim, a machshava shlo lishmo does not make it, it does not invalidate the korban, it's still kasher. But yet, by a chataat, it ruins it. So now, chutz lizmano, when it comes to machshevet pigul, shiposel b'shlamim, that ruins shlamim, ein odin shivso b'chataat, out, then certainly it should ruin the chataot. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon's going to agree, when it comes to pigul, that the machshava pigul will not only impact on the chataot achitzoniot, but it will also impact on the chataot ha-pnimiyot. Now, it'll impact not to make it pigul, but at least to make it pasul. Because dayo lavo min edin liot kenidon. I mean that you can't, if you're learning from lo lishmo, then you can't make, lo lishmo is only a problem of psul, it's not a problem of karet. So if you're going to make a kavah chomer from lo lishmo, you can't make the psul that you're learning to chatot and pnimiyot any greater than the object that you're learning from, which is lo lishmo. So therefore, what we have now, according to Rabbi Shimon, is, number one, pigul does not apply to the chatot pnimiyot to be mechayev karet. That's number one. Number two, we have Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to holacha, holacha is a dispensable avoda, because you don't necessarily have to have it, therefore machshava has no impact during holacha. That's both for lo lishmo and for pigul, there's no machshava, doesn't impact in holacha. The next thing we know Rabbi Shimon is that when it comes to chatot ha-pnimiyot, where holacha is indispensable, because you must take the dam from the azara into the heichal, over there your machshava will impact. Now the machshava that will impact in terms of chatot pnimiyot is number one, lo lishmo, and number two is pigul. But pigul, that not to be mechayev you karet, but pigul to make it pasul, just like lo lishmo, because that's what we learned from the kal v'chomer. Just like lo lishmo makes it pasul, then certainly a machshevet pigul will make it pasul when it comes to the chatot ha-pnimiyot. So those are the lochot that we know from Rabbi Shimon right now. So Mari wants to know, okay, that works by v'ashkecha and chutz l'zmano. So we're okay, that's chutz l'zmano for pasul. Chutz l'mekomo minolon. I don't know if I have a machshev of chutz l'mekomo when it comes to the chatot ha-pnimiyot, that also should impact over here. If I'm going to try to learn it out of chutz l'zmano, malo chutz l'zmano shekein karet. Chutz l'zmano, I can't learn chutz l'mekomo from chutz l'zmano because chutz l'zmano has a unique aspect to it, which is that you're chayav karet for consuming pigul that was done chutz l'zmano. If I'm going to learn it out of lo lishmo, well, I can't do that because shekein noheg bibama. That lo lishmo has impact not only when it comes to the mikdash itself, but even prior to the Zman HaMikdash, in the time of the Bamot, whether it's a Bamot, Yachid, Bamot, Zibur, lo lishmo has an impact. But chutz l'mekomo does not have impact when it comes to a Bama. Why not? Because there is, chutz l'mekomo assumes that there is some sort of boundary that surrounds the area. So in the Mikdash, you have the Azara, you have Yerushalayim, the walls around Yerushalayim, so those are the boundaries from where you can eat. When it comes to a Bama, you can eat the Chol HaBikah, the whole area around it. There is no boundaries to where you can eat it. Rashi claims over here that Ein mechitza b'bama v'chol ha-bika mekomo ad sof olam. Everywhere until the end of the earth is its mekom, because there is no boundary when it comes to a bama. Again, with a bama tzibur or by the mishkan, maybe it has to be b'chol ha-ro'eh. You have to see it at least, but there really are no actual boundaries to the korban. So Nehemiah says, wait a minute. You want to learn out of lo lishmo, shelo lishman b'mayno heg. Lo lishmo only affects two karbanot. We know that from a Mishnah. What are the two karbanot it affects? A chatat and a pesach bizmano. Well, pesach and chatat bibama lo karve. When it comes to a bama, you cannot bring a chatat and you cannot bring a pesach. You can't bring a chatat because only mash nidar v'nidev. Only things that are given as voluntary offerings are allowed to be brought on a bamot. A chatat is something that is not brought as a voluntary offering. Pesach bizmano is a korban tzibur. And so that can't be brought as well on the bama. So now, if you can't bring those korbanot on the bama, then machshevet lo lishmo is not relevant to a bama. Meaning that, yes, you can have machshevet lo lishmo by bama, but it's not on the korbanot that have any relevance that makes them pasul. So that means anything you're going to bring on a bama, if you have a machshevet lo lishmo, it will not be posel the korban. So that can't be the reason that you say that you can't learn out chutz l'mekomo from lo lishmo. Because the one chumrah that you thought you had by lo lishmo is not applicable to the area where you think it's more chamur, and that is the area of bama. The other possibility here is vibay tema, hekeshehu. There's a hekesh between chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mekomo. Again, we'll get to this in the second perek, which spends more time on pigul. But they learn from the pasuk, which is Yom HaShlishi, Shlishi, Zeh Chutz L'Zmano. Pigul The word pigul in the pasuk is zech chutzlim kamo, which is ironic that what we call pigul today in the Lashon HaGemara is chutzlis mano. Over here, the Gemara dashes from the pasuk that the shlishim means chutzlis mano, and pigul, the word pigul really means chutzlim kamo. So the word pigul, when it's used in the Torah, in the pasuk really means chutzlim kamo, even though when we speak about it in Gemara terms, pigul means chutzlis mano. But nevertheless, you have in a single pasuk, both of them are learned from this single pasuk. That's both chutzlis mano and chutzlim kamo. That means if I know something about chutzlis mano, I can also know it about chutzlim kamo. I don't need any logical argument. Hekesh supersedes logic. So hekesh supersedes logic. That means that I learned to have chutzlis mano from lo lishmo. Once I know the information about chutzlis mano, I can apply it to chutzlim kamo without having to worry about any logical argument. And that means just like chutzlis mano is posel or pasul by the chatot apinimiyot, so too machshevet chutzlim kamo will also be posel when it comes to the chatot apinimiyot. So Amar Rava. Now Rava is going to discuss right now. He's going to start a process that the Gemara is going to go through until the two dots, which is let's think according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to, or at least Reish Lakish said in Rabbi Shimon's name, that when it comes to chatot apinimiyot, holacha is indispensable. Because you have to shecht it in the Azara, and you need to get the dam from the Azara to the Heichal. So you must do holacha. The question is, how much holacha do you need to do? What is the minimum amount of holacha that you can do? Because that's the minimum amount of holacha will tell us what is considered to be absolutely necessary. Just like by the Mizbech HaChitzon, Rabbi Shimon thinks that no holacha is necessary because you could shech the animal adjacent to the Mizbech and then not require any holacha whatsoever. That means no matter where you do it in the Azara, it doesn't matter because holacha is not necessary. The fact that you're doing holacha, fine, but it wasn't necessary. So let's ask the same question when it comes from the Azara to the Heichal. How much of that is absolutely necessary? And that will determine where the machshava will impact. So this is what Rabbi says. Amar Rabbi, imtim salomar, Rabbi Shimon savalar kibrei. If Rabbi Shimon holds like his son, the sheet of his son, Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon, damar, that he believes, bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach tzafon. That between the ulam and the mizbeach is still considered the northern side of the mizbeach. So this is important. Kodshei kodashim have to be shechted on the northern side of the mizbeach. So over here, this area is the northern side of the mizbeach. The question, we're going to get to this later in the Masechta, is what is considered north of the mizbeach? I mean, does it have to be in the line of sight of the mizbeach to be a yerech hamizbeach, meaning to be on the edge of the mizbeach, on the side of the mizbeach, the northern side of the mizbeach, does it only apply absolutely opposite the mizbeach? Or does the northern side of the mizbeach mean anything north of the mizbeach, even if it's to the right or to the left of where the mizbeach is placed? Meaning to the west or the east or where the mizbeach is placed. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that even between the ulam, this is the ulam over here, I'm showing you the pictures, I'll send them out to you, here there's the ulam over here, and the mizbeach, that's still considered to be north of the mizbeach. Even though it's not on that northern side of the mizbeach, it's really west of the mizbeach, but since it's to the north of mizbeach, that's classified as north. Well, if you do that, that means that anywhere in this colored area, this highlighted area, you could shech a korban that is kodshei kodashim. That means that you could shecht it all the way up against the door of the ulam or the petach ulam. If you do that, then the holacha that is absolutely necessary is only from the entrance, right outside the entranceway to the ulam, to getting it inside the heichal. That'll be the only area of holacha that is indispensable. That's what Rabbi says. Imtim tzalam Rabbi Shimon sever like a brei damar ben ulam ulam mizbeach tzafon. Between the ulam and mizbeach is still called tzafon. Ein machshava mo'elet v'olachat chataot apnimiot ela mipetach ulam v'lifnim. From the doorway of the ulam into the heichal, we have to do the blood. That's the only indispensable holacha that you would have. Now true, you could shecht it anywhere in this highlighted area, but the fact that you could shecht it right outside the door of the ulam means that the only holacha that is absolutely necessary is from the door of the ulam into the heichal.
You know, just look at the holacha as something
like right, that we know from Rabbi Shimon, from our Mishnah, that since you could do it adjacent to Mizmeach, that makes holacha necessary completely, and then there's nothing to discuss at all. So we know that Rabbi Shimon only matters for him what is indispensable. So now the Gemara says, oh, we're going to do this, the imtim salomar, if he holds, sabar like Rabbi Yehuda, damar toch azara mikudash, that he says that the inside of the azara is mikudash, ein machshava mo'elet holechet siluk bazichin ali petach heichal vilachutz. So let's think about, there's another thing that has to move. There's another type of holacha that has to be done. And that comes to the lechem hapanim. The lechem apanim are found inside on the shulchan, and with them are these two bazichim, these two calm cups of livona that are placed on the shulchan. In order to eat the lechem apanim, those basichin of levona must be taken, and they have to be mukrav on the mizbeach. Once they are nikrav on the mizbeach, those basichin, the lechem is mutar to eat. But that means that a kohen must go in to the heichal, the kodesh, where the shulchan sits, take the basichin from there, and walk them out to the mizbeach chitzon, to put them on the mizbeach chitzon in order to be matir the lechem apanim. So that holacha, that walking is absolutely necessary. It's indispensable. You have a shulchan in the heichal. You need to get the bazichin that have a levona in them from the shulchan out to the mizbeach achitzon. But let's think. We have to think now. What is absolutely indispensable here in terms of holacha? So number one, as Rashi points out here, the shulchan can go anywhere in the heichal, anywhere in the kodesh. Anywhere within the Kodesh, you can place the Shulchan. We happen to place the Shulchan on the northern side of the Kodesh, pushed towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning that more than halfway into the Kodesh. That's where it actually sits, right over here. But the truth is that the Makom of the Shulchan is anywhere within this area of the Kodesh. If it's anywhere in the area of the Kodesh, that means that the walking that is absolutely necessary is only from the door of the Heichal outward. Now we have the other opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, and this happened in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, there were so many karbanot that they couldn't get them all on Mizbeach, so they were makriv them even on the floor of the Azarah. And from that, Rabbi Yehuda says that we know that it's mutar to makriv a korban anywhere in the Azarah. The Azarah has the equivalent kedusha of the Mizbeach, because of what Shlomo HaMelech had done. It was mekadeshit to be makriv. If that's the case, then walking the bazichim out from the heichal, from the kodesh, to the Azarah, where they're going to be mukrav, meaning on the mizbech chitzon, the only absolutely necessary holacha is from the door of the heichal to outside, right outside the door of the ulam. So as you pass out the door of the ulam, you're in the Azarah, you could be, technically, could be makriv, the bazichim there. In terms of the shulchan, technically, it could be all the way up against the door of the kodesh, which goes out towards the ulam. So if that's the case, the only absolute necessary walking is from here, from the door of the kodesh to the outside the door of the heichal. And that would be the only area where machshava will impact. And machshava will impact over there, right outside the door of the ulam, which is the azarah, and therefore you could be makriv the bazichim there. So that's the only indispensable holacha that is associated with the bazichim. And there is machshevet pigol by the bazichim, because they are matirim for the lechem apanim. They're the ones that allow the lechem apanim to be eaten. Therefore, if you have a machshava during the avodah of the bazichim, then you will impact on the lechem apanim. Yeah, it has to be achilat adam or achilat mizbeach. So either putting the bazichim in the mizbeach outside of the zman, or the lechem, eating the lechem outside the zman. Correct. Bim tim salom mar sarva lak yirav yehuda damar toch hazra mikudash. Ein machshava mo'elet biholachat siluk bazichin. The carrying of the removal of the bazichim, meaning that at the end of the week, when they're going to take the bazichin to be makriv them, in order to be matir the lechem apanim, ela mipetach heichal vilachutz. Right, from the doorway of the heichal outward until you reach, I mean not all the way out, but to the chutz means here until you reach the azarah itself. Now we can extend this even further. V'im tim salomar savar lo, if he holds like the position that kedushat heichal v'ulam chaduhu, that the heichal, meaning that the kodesh and kodesh kodeshim and the ulam have the same kedusha, they have one kedusha, they don't have a differentiation in their level of kedusha. What does that mean? That means that the shulchan, we said before, can be placed anywhere in the kodesh. Well, if the heichal and the ulam have the same kedusha, that means that the shulchan could have technically been placed inside the ulam. If it technically could be placed inside the ulam, that means that the shulchan could be all the way up as close as the door of the ulam. That means that the only necessary walking is from inside the door of the ulam to outside the door of the ulam. Inside the door of the ulam is classified as kodesh. There's shulchan technically could have been. Outside the door of the ulam is already the azarah, which technically can serve as the mizbeach. So if that's the case, then the absolute necessary walking is ein machshava mo'elet al mipetach ulam v'lachutz. That it will only matter from the door of the ulam, achutza, meaning until you reach the floor of the azarah. Then the last possibility is ve'im tim salomar toch ha'petach kilifnim. If you say the width or the depth, it's really the depth of the doorway has the same din as the ulam. The ulam's door is 5 amot thick. So if it's 5 amot thick, that doorway over here is 5 amot thick, then if you think the doorway, the width or breadth of the doorway is considered like the ulam itself, that means the shulchan could technically have sat inside the doorway, right at the line at the end of the doorway. And the azara is right over, is one step over. If that's the case, if you say, then you don't even have to take one step. All you have to do is, just stick your hand out. Since the shulchan could have sat in the doorway of the ulam, the azara is mukdash, to be makriv, like the mizbeach. That means that you could be standing in the doorway of the ulam, you could pick up the bazichim and then put them down in the azara and you'd be done with your holacha. So you wouldn't even have to take a step. That's the only indispensable holacha according to that opinion. What happens if you think that holacha like this is not classified as walking? Meaning to walk, or to holacha means literally to put a foot in front of the other foot. If you don't have to move at all, then maybe that's not called holacha. Then, ein machshava moelet kalal. At that point, you've now narrowed down to the point where the machshava of bazichin, there is no machshava by holacha, because there is no holacha by the bazichin when you're taking them out. So it all depends, meaning that the Gemara here is just, in a sense, playing, but playing with halachic ideas that if I take this opinion and this opinion and this opinion, if I add them together, I can basically come up with a scenario where halacha is unnecessary. We said before for the hataot pnimiyot that halacha was indispensable. Well, it's indispensable only if you hold of certain opinions. Once you add together a number of opinions, you can make it dispensable. Now, they didn't do it with the Chatot and Pnimiyot, but rather with the Bazichin. Because Bazichin is easier, because there they have to be Mukrav on the Mizbeach Chitzon, and then the Azara could be Kulul Mukdash, like the Mizbeach. So the Gemara did that with the Bazichin that are inside the Kodesh. If they take them out to the Azara, they slowly narrowed and narrowed down the amount of Halacha that was indispensable, to the point where maybe you don't need Halacha at all. If you don't need Halacha at all, there's no going to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no more Machshava by Halacha of the Siluk Bazichin. So Amalei Abaye the Amorei de Rav Chisda. So Abaye said to the Amorei of Rav Chisda, we'll call him the microphone of Rav Chisda. This was usually an individual who, the Amora, which was, say, Rav Chisda, used to speak to him quietly, and then this individual would go ahead and then speak in a loud voice to the public. Whether he was also mitargim, I think necessarily true that he had to translate it into Aramaic, because the Amora who spoke to him probably was speaking the same language. So I don't think there was a necessary translation, but just an amplification of what he said. So Bayamine Rav Chisda, you should ask Rav Chisda. So Abaye says to his, we'll call him quote unquote microphone, his amplifier, that you should ask Rav Chisda. Holacha bizar mahu. What's the din of holacha if it's done by a zar? Amalei ksheira said it's kosher umikra misayeni, and I have a pasuk to prove it. I have a pasuk to prove it from Divrei Yamim where they did a korban pesach. It says there vayishchadu et pesach vayizriku akohanim miadam valivim mashitim. And the Levim are skinning the animal. So here you see the Bezikku HaKohanim Miyadam. The Kohanim were taking it from their hands, and they were doing the Zrikat Adam. Now, Vayishchatu Et HaPesach. Shchit Et HaPesach is, or Shchita in general, is Kasher BeZar. One can shecht. Anybody can shecht a Korban. It's Kasher, not just the Kohen. Zrikat Adam clearly is done here by the Kohanim. But it says that Vayizriku HaKohanim Miyadam, that the Kohanim took it from their hands. Well, who's their hands over here? Well, the antecedent of that statement seems to be Vayishchatu at the Pesach. Those that shechted the Pesach, the Kohanim took it from their hands and then sprinkled the blood. So what do you see? Who brought the dam to the Kohanim? It must have been those that shechted the Pesach. Those that shechted the Pesach are Zarim. So I can prove to you that a Zar can do Holacha. Beitiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, what are you saying? We have an explicit statement against this, that Zar, Ve'onein, Shikur, Balmum, Bikabala, Beholacha, Bzukab, Pasul, V'chein Yoshev, V'chein Small. There are certain items that can't be done in any three of these avodot. Leave out Shchita, because we know Shchita is Kasher Bizar, but the other three avodot of Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zvika, three out of the four avodot that we know that are necessary to get the Korban to the Mizbeach, over there, these individuals are Pasul. Zar, which is the one that we're looking for, someone who's not a Kohen, an Onain, and a Kohen who is an Onain, who has a relative that passed away that has yet to be buried. Shikor, Rashi calls over here, Shtuya Yayin, someone who had more than a revit of Yayin, and therefore he's Pasul to do Avodah B'Migdash, or he's Mechalel do Avodah that he does in the Migdash. Tosus takes issue with Rashi, but later on comes back to Rashi's interpretation, so we'll go with that, Shtuya Yayin. And then, Balmum, a kohen that has a mumen, it was not a kohen kasher in order to do avodah. All these are individuals cannot perform these three avodot. So too, these three avodot may not be performed sitting down, yoshev, and b'smol with the left hand. The psula of left-handedness is subject to a machloket rishonim, what the psula of left-handedness is. Is the psula here of chen b'smol mean that a person who is a righty, who does the avodah in his left hand, that is problematic? God bless you. Or is it someone who is a lefty is pasul? The gavra who is a lefty is pasul from doing avodah in the Migdash. Obviously, the nafkamina between those two will be if a lefty does it with his right hand. If a lefty does it with his right hand, is that considered to be pasul? Is the pasul someone who is a lefty, therefore they can't do the avodah whatsoever? Or is the psul that it's done in the left hand, and therefore someone who does it in the right hand might possibly be kasher? All right, that's a discussion. We'll get to those later on in the Gemara. Right, so now Gemara says, Tziyufta, that's a very strong question. That's, I mean, that you can't get out of this. This is an explicit statement that when it comes to a czar, he cannot perform the holacha. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. What about Rav Chista in responding to Abaye says that he brought a pasuk as his proof? Well, if he brought a pasuk as his proof, what are you going to do with the pasuk that he brought? The pasuk that he brought about the Pesach, what are you going to do with that? So the Gemara says, Da'avid Masa Itzdibo, that the Yisrael acted like a pillar. What does that mean he acted like a pillar? He acted like an inanimate object. Because the shechita done on a korban, a kohen does kabbalat adam, then he places it down on the ground, or he places it on a pillar. Then another kohen comes and takes the dam from there and does the zrikat adam. Is that pasul? No, because there's no problem with placing the dam down on something that is inanimate. So the Israel over here did not do the holachat adam. He did not move the dam from the person who did the kabbalat adam to the person who needs to do the zrikat adam. He simply just stood there. He stood still. And the kohen who had done the kabbalat adam just placed it in his hands, and the next kohen who needed to do the zrikat adam took it out of his hands. So therefore, the Yisrael or the Tzar here acted like an inanimate object. He did no holacha. So since he didn't know holacha, that's why it was okay. But ain't our chanami that when it comes to holacha, we would need to have it done by a kohen, not by a Tzar. All right. So now the Gemara says, Rabbo v'Rav Yosef, the Amri Tavayu, holacha bizar machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Actually, the holacha bizar is subject to the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say that avodat holacha is impactful, it's a real avodah because you can have machshava about it, and therefore also a zar will be posel. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, who thinks that holacha is dispensable, machshava doesn't impact by holacha. Sounds like Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe holacha, it's really an avoda. If it's not really an avoda, then a zar will also not be pusel by that avoda. That's the suggestion of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. The same machlokas that the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon have about lo lishmo, or about any machshava by holacha, will also be impacted, or have the same impact by the case of zar. Rabbi Shimon damar avoda shef shadavat la avoda hi ksheira. Rabbi Shimon who says that an avoda that is dispensable is not called an avoda, he thinks it's ksheira bizar. The Rabbanan who think that halacha is necessary and is an avoda, therefore it's psula. Samalei Abaye v'hai shchita da avoda shef shadavat la. Wait a minute. This equation that you're making is not clear. Shchita is a indispensable avoda, yet Shira Bazar. It's allowed to be done by a czar. So Rashi thinks the question is on the Rabbanan. Rashi says the question is on the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say that when it comes to holacha, that's an indispensable avoda, that's psula bazar. So that's the question of Abaye comes to break that equation up. It says, no, I can find you another indispensable avoda, shchita, yet it's still kasher bizar. So that equation doesn't work. That's the question going to Rashi. According to Tosafot, the question is on Rabbi Shimon. I mean that, according to Rabbi Shimon, that a avoda that is efshar levatel, right, is kshira bizar. So we see, wait, that's not true, because we have shchita, which is indispensable, that is also kshira bizar. So we're breaking that equation. So according to Tosafot, the question is on the Rabbi Shimon side of the equation. According to Rashi, it's on the Rabbanan side of the question. Where it says, Amalei shchita lab avodahi. Shchita is not an avoda. Why is shchita not an avoda? Rashi says, mei de'at kashuba kola psulim. Anybody who's pasul to do all the other avodot, all psulim are mutar to do shchita. So Val Psulim, that shows you that it's really not an avoda. Because if it was a real avoda, it would require Sherim, it would require a Kohen. The fact that it does, it indicates to you that it's not a real avoda. That's the way Rashi learns the case. Tosafot brings additional options as to what the reason for the fact that Shechita is not considered an avoda. There is a Rav Yaakov d'Orleans, who says that it's lav avoda yi lefi sheshoveh b'chulin v'kodshim. It's something that's done both in Kodshim and in Chulin. I mean that you have to do Shechita in order to eat meat, whether you're bringing it as Kodshim on the Mizbeach, or whether you're eating it as Chulin meat. So the fact that it's also applicable, or also necessary outside of the Mikdash, shows you that it's not an Avoda, because it's needed by Chulin. So that's Rabbi Yaakov Mi'Orleans. The other possibility that Tosa says, V'linira, de lav avodahi midemachshirinan. There are certain things that we are machshir to do by Shechita that are psulim by Kabbalat Adam. For instance, one may shecht, the individual who is shechting the animal in the tzafon, in the northern side, he may be standing in the south and shecht the animal in the northern side. The animal standing in the north, he's standing in the south. Or, when it comes to the petach of the Azara, he could be standing outside the Azara, his hand is inside, and he can shecht the animal inside the Azara. Both of those are ksherim when it comes to shechita, but when it comes to Kabbalat Adam and any other vodah, they'd be psulim. So that shows it. That's how we know that Shechita is not an avoda. Because if Shechita was an avoda like Kabbalah and others, they require not only that the animal be, or the avoda be done in the Mikdash, but the Gavra who's doing the avoda be inside the Azara, or in the location that it be done. The fact that the Gavra here does not have to be in the same place as the avoda that's be, or the action that's being taken, shows you that it's not an avoda. So there we have three different ways to explain why Shechita is not classified as an avoda. One is Rashi, is because it's mutar bipsulim, or all the psulim are kshirim to do it. Number two is Rabbi Yaakov Mi'Orleans that says that it's equivalent in chulin and kodshim, and the Tosfot who says that we see certain restrictions that apply to the other avodah don't apply to shechita. That shows you that shechita is not an avodah. Velo, shechita is not an avodah. V'amir Reb Zeir Amir Rav, shechitat para bizar psula. Shechita of a para by a zar is pasul. But if you say shechita is not an avoda, then why is zar a problem by the shechita of the para duma? Vama ravala, that how do I know that's an avoda? Because it says alazar v'chukakti ba. It says alazar was the skana kohen, chuka, which is a la'akev, when you have the word chuk, that's used by something that just means the Gemara says that it's la'akev. So we see here that the necessity for alazar by the shechita is a chuk, it's ma'akev. And therefore a zar is psula. So how come, if by shechita of a para duma, if you say shechita is not a voda, then why should there be a requirement of a lazar to do the shechita of the para duma? When it says shiny para, the kochi berakabaiti, you're talking about a totally different sug, or category of karbanot. When you talk about a korban, that's one category. That's kochim. Kochim is beach. Over here, para duma is in a different category called kochi berakabait. Kochi berakabait, over there, maybe the rules are different. It says, "V'lav kol dechein hu." Then it shouldn't be a kol dechein. I mean, kochei mizbeach are more kadosh than kochei berek abayit. If by kochei berek abayit we say that shechita can't be done by a zar, then certainly by kochei mizbeach shechita can't be done by a zar. Kochei berek abayit is havi avoda. Kochei mizbeach lav avoda yi. How could it be that kochei berek abayit is classified as an avoda and then kochei mizbeach it's not? So Amar Rav Shishi Brei de Ravidi midid hava amarod nigaim. It's just like the sighting of a nega, meaning the classification of a nega by a kohen who goes to see the nega, the lava vodahi, ubayi keuno. That you see that the necessity of a kohen doesn't necessarily mean that the action is an avoda. In order to have someone see the nega'im, to declare them tamei or not tamei, or whether they have to go into hezger, that has to be done by a kohen. But nobody would say that marot nega'im is classified as an avoda, so you can't draw a parallel. Just because a kohen must do it doesn't indicate to you that it is an avoda. So over here, also, just because by the paraduma you require a kohen to do the shechita, doesn't mean that shechita is an avoda. That is an gzerata kaduv. Says, okay, well, I'll find you something else. Very alochat evarim the kevesh. The taking of the evarim to the ramp, meaning that once an animal is shechted and the pieces that need to go onto the mizbeach are taken to the ramp, da avoda she'efshar levatlahi, that's an avoda that you could dispense with. Upsula bizar. And that it must be, that can't be done by Zardichtiv. V'ikriv ha-kohen et ha-kol b'ktir ha-mizbecha. That the Kohanim will bring it close to the Mizbech and be part of the Mizbech. So who is makriv? Who brings the Evarim closer to the Mizbech? That is a Kohen. So over there, it's a dispensable avodah, and yet it still must be done by a Kohen. That's the taking of the limbs to the ramp. Sukma says, well, heche de gali gali. Where the Torah tells you need a Kohen by a dispensable avodah, you'll need a Kohen. Heche de lo gali, lo gali. In a case where it's not indicated, then you won't need it. Sukma says, v'lav kol dechein hu? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? Uma alocha devarim lekevesh de lo ma'akva kaparo ba'yikeuna. The taking of the limbs from the animal that has been cut up into its parts and bringing them to the ramp to be placed on the Mizbeach, that, number one, is dispensable. And number two is not ma'akev the kapara. Because the dam was already sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Dam on the Mizbeach is what's ma'akev the kapara. So they don't affect the, you're supposed to do it, but they don't withhold kapara if they're not done, yet it still requires kuna. Olach at adam, the taking of the dam to the Mizbeach, the ma'akev kapara, that would be ma'akev kapara, lo koshikain. Wouldn't that be, certainly would require a kiuna over here? Meaning that the halacha is pre the zrikat adam. And the zrikat adam is ma'akev the kapara. So therefore the halacha is an indispensable item in terms of the kapara. You need to get the dam to the zbech to have kapara. So certainly to be koshkin, you would need a kohen over there. Itmar, Amar, Ula, Amar of Lazar, halacha bizar psula, afilu the Rabbi Shimon. So there, if that, leaving that as a question, meaning that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, who think Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yonan argue about Zar, just like they argue about Alo Lishmo, here the Gemara ran into a problem with that, because the equation breaks down. The equation between indispensable Avoda and Kohen doesn't stand the test. So if that's the case, now we have a new statement by Ulam Rabbi Lazar that says no, that when it comes to Halacha Bazar, it's Psula, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Not only according to Rabban, but even according to Rabbi Shimon, it will be problematic with the Zar. So that would be the conclusion, as that even according to Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to a Zar, it's Psula. So even though Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to the Machshava Lo Lishmo, since the Halacha is dispensable, therefore Lo Lishmo or Pigol will not have impact on Halacha, nevertheless, when it comes to Zar, we see there's no equation between dispensable or indispensable and Zar and Kohen, and therefore we will require Kohen by the Lacha because it's an Avoda. And since it's an Avoda, then it must be done by the, or since it's necessary in order to provide the Kapara, therefore we will require a Kohen there. If we require a Kohen, then even Rabbi Shimon will agree that it is a Pasul Bazar. So now the Gemara wants to know, Ibailuhu, Olacha Shlo Beregel, Shmo Olacha, Olo Shmo Olacha. So at the end of the previous sugya, we said, well, if we narrowed down the area where you could have the Shulchan and the Makriv de Bazichin to just stepping over a line, then over there we said if he passes it across, that'll be the only time it's a problem. And the Gemara says, if you think passing it is not Olacha, then there is no Olacha by the Bazichin. So the Gemara wants to know now, is that really true? What's the din? Does Olacha only apply when you move your feet? Or can holacha mean any movement of the item? So tashma, b'chein yoshev, b'chein smol pasul. We said before, we brought that braita, that someone who is seated, or someone who does it with their left hand, the avoda, then it is pasul. Ha omeid dumyud yoshev. On the other hand, someone who's standing similar to sitting down is kasher. So what's the case of someone standing up that's similar to sitting down? That's someone who's stationary and passes the item. Someone stationary and passes the item, sounds like this would be kasher. That would be fine as a holacha. So Mar says, no, Dilma Yoshev, the Kashayif Meshaf. Mate, how do you know what the Yoshev is referring to? So just sitting down here doesn't have to mean sitting down and stationary. That's what's possible here. Maybe it's a person who is sitting down and dragging themselves along the floor. Instead of walking, they're sitting down and they're sliding themselves along the floor to move. So that won't be classified as Olacha. Aval Ome Dumya the Yoshev. So what's omeid dumya de yoshev in that case? This is someone who moves themselves while they're seated. Well, omeid, you can move yourself while you're standing, and that is denayin porta. He moved a little bit. He kind of made a directional move, and that's enough to consider good and kasher. So the question is, if I say yoshev is problematic, that means that omeid is okay. But omeid that is very similar to that yoshev will also be okay. So what's the yoshev? If the yoshev means being stationary, that means standing and being stationary is be fine, which is If I say the yoshev doesn't mean literally sitting and being stationary, it means sitting and then sliding yourself along, then omeid dumyum, and that will be fine, which is omeid where you kind of move it along. If you move your feet a little, that'll be enough of olacha. So tashma. Shachat Yisrael, this is talking about a case of the Korban HaPesach. Yisrael was shochet, b'kibel ha-kohen, the Kabbalat HaDan is done by the Kohen, natno l'chaveiro, v'chaveiro l'chaveiro. So over there, when they had to get the dam to the Mizbeach, they used to line up the Kohanim, like a fire line. The water line for the fire. What they used to do was they'd have the Kohanim lined up, and they would do the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, they'd have the Kabbalat HaDam, they'd pass it to the Kohen, he'd pass it the next, until it got to Mizbeach, the last one would go and do the Zrichat HaDam. And then they would send the empty ones back, and to start again, to go again, because there was a heavy load of Karbanot that day. But what that shows you is, you need to get the Dam from the Kabbalah to the Mizbeach. How are they doing that? They're having Kohanim pass it one to the other. So it must be that that's classified as Olacha. Otherwise, how are they, then the Dam is not walking or not being moved to the Mizbeach in the proper manner. So Mar says, Shamar Yisrael v'kibel ha-Kohen, nato l'chaveiro, chaveiro l'chaveiro. So Mar says, Hatam na'ami denai di porto. He moved a little bit. Not that he just handed it to him, but moved his feet a little bit. He moved in that direction a little bit, and that's enough. Umay kamashmalan. Well, then if that's the case, then what's the idea of using this fire line? What's the chiddush in the Mishnah telling us this? So when it says, kamashmalan, barovam hadrat melech, that the more people involved in the karban, the better it is. Barovam hadrat melech, it makes it better or more praise to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even though technically we wouldn't need all these kohanim, but nevertheless, it's still better to use all the Kohanim because it makes a much fuller mitzvah where there are more people involved in the mitzvah, and therefore there's a benefit to having these Kohanim in a line so that they can all participate in the Korban HaPesach. So Tashma Kibela Kasher V'natam Lipsul. A Kasher, a Kohen, was Mekabel Adam, and then he gave it to a Psul, which is an Yisrael. Yachzir the Kasher, the Yisrael must return it to the original Kohen. That means when the Kohen passed it after the Kabbalat Adam to the Yisrael, that was not classified as Holacha. And therefore, the Yisrael has to give it back to the Kohen in order for the Holacha to be done. What you see from that is that Hoshata, passing, is not considered Holacha. That's what you'd see from this Brayta. Number one, the Yisrael handling it is not a problem. Number two, you see that Havshata is not enough. Because what does the Brayta tell you? You have to yachzir it. You have to give it back to the original Kohen so you can do Olacha again. Gemara says, no, imi eder yachzor. Akasher v'yikabla. No, not yachzir, which means that he has to return it to where the Kohen was originally. Eder yachzor. You should give it back to a Kohen. Not backwards to the Kohen that originally gave it to him to redo the Olacha. But rather, the Yisrael can pass it forward to the next Kohen. When he gives it to the next Kohen, that Kohen will take it up to the Mizbeach, because the Olacha of the original Kohen was Kasher. And therefore, Hoshata was good Olacha. And now the Yisrael passes it on to the next Kohen who will take it up to the Mizbeach, because the original Hoshata was good enough. So you can't prove from here whether Hoshata is considered to be Olacha or not, because if you read it as Yachzir, you're right. Then it sounds like Hoshata is not a good Olacha, because we need the Kohen to redo it. On the other hand, if you read it as Yachzor, once you amend it to read Yachzor, you have no proof, because then maybe the Yisrael just has to pass it to a Kohen to complete the rest of the Avodot. But the Olacha was already accomplished by the first Kohen when he passed it to the Yisrael. So Gemara says, Itmar, Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Olacha, Shlo Beregel, Lo Shma Olacha. So here we have a definitive statement, according to Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, that Olacha, that doesn't involve the movement of one's feet, Lo Shma Olacha, that's not called Olacha. Efshar litkuna, although efshar litkuna. Can you fix this or not fix this? Whether a zar did it, and now you need to rectify it by having a kohen do it, or if a kohen did it through hoshata, and now needs to do it beregel, is there a way to fix it? Tashma, kibela kasher v'natan li psul. The Kabbalah was done on the day of kasher, via kohen, v'natan li psul, and then it's given to Israel. Yachzir the kasher, he has to return it back to the kasher. So it sounds, but from this bright, the way we learned it before, that sounds like the hoshata of holacha was not enough, therefore he has to return it to the original kohen, back to where he was, to redo the holacha on the day of kohen. Even if you read it, we amended the Braita before to read Yachzor instead of Yachzir, so that we wouldn't have to learn from this Braita that Hoshata is considered to be Holacha. So, but even if you read it that way, then the Kasher, the first Kasher that passed it to the Psul, that Holacha should be problematic, because he passed it on to a Psul. And now, when the next Kohen comes and does Holacha, then he is rectifying. Even if you say Yachzor, it's going close to his back, he's rectifying the holacha that was done previously. So you see here from this bright, whether you really did as yakzir, that he has to redo the holacha, or yakzor, that he just has to continue on and do a holacha from this point forward, either way we see that the new holacha is rectifying what was done incorrectly until this point in time. So Yisrael Gadatcho, if you think that lo efshar l'tkuna, that it's impossible to fix it up, ifsalala, then it's pasol, and why is returning the ab, the dam to the kohen, whether it's backwards or forwards, do anything here? Why does that help you at all? It's already pasol, and you can't be metakin. It must be that this braisa, whether you read yachzir or yachzor, should allow one to be metakin the holacha that was done before it. It says, wait a minute, you're reading the Braita this way. Your assumption here is that the Zar, the Israel, is standing closer to the Mizbeach than the Kohen. Therefore, when the first Kohen passed it to him, that was a problematic, or he walked it to him, that was a problematic holacha that you're trying to rectify afterwards. Well, that's only if the Israel is standing close to the Mizbeach. What happens if the Israel is standing bibrai, outside of the Kohen, away from the Mizbeach? In that case, there is no halacha that was done at all. So what the Braita is telling us is that the halacha of the second Kohen is the only halacha. Because the first Kohen who passed it to the Zar passed it away from the Mizbeach. That's not halacha. So since he passed it away from the Mizbeach, there was no halacha done yet. When the next Kohen gets it, then that, or whether you read a Yakzir, it's returned to the original Kohen, or Yakzor, that it's passed to another Kohen, that is the Kohen that does the halacha, brings it closer to the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's not a rectification of what took place before. This is the first halacha that's being done, because this is the first time it's moving towards the Mizbeach. So if that's the case, Itmar Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochan Halacha, Halacha Shlo Berega Psula, halacha that is not done with the movement of the legs, just to Oshata, that's not considered a good halacha. And number two is, Amar Lo Efshar Litkuna, it's also impossible to fix it. Now those are the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, which are, number one, holacha must be done by the movement of feet, simply sticking your hand out is not enough. And number two is, if holacha is done improperly, you can't go back and rectify it by having a kohen do the holacha properly afterwards. Tomorrow we'll ask the questions and follow up on this tomorrow, but the conclusion here is that holacha needs holacha to regel, and number two is that holacha to regel must be done right all the way along, and if it's passed to a zar, it cannot be rectified then by having a kohen then repeat the action as holacha. The only way a zar can be involved is either it's the ba, he stands there and does nothing, he acts like an inanimate object, or if the zar is away from the mizbeach. If the zar is away from the mizbeach, then no holacha is being done by the zar at all, and the kohen doesn't have to rectify anything, he has to do the holacha to the Mizbeach, which was never done until this point in time. All right, we'll stop here.